Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel and Diane Duvernay are your hosts every week right here on AM 1290, FM 96.9, and streaming at AM 1290KZSB.com. We're repeated at 11 and on Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people in Santa Barbara, at Figueroa and Anacapa Streets, and in Montecito's Upper Village. At Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm, coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
Hi, Neil. How are you today?
Well, how was the eclipse? Did you get to see it?
I saw it through, it was only partial here, so we didn't get the full eclipse, but yes, I saw what I could out in Santa Barbara.
I missed it, but I'm going to catch the next one.
You hope. I'm going to give you, you hope you catch the next one. Yeah. So I am thrilled to announce that our guest today is Annette Jorgensen from Riviera Bank. She is the Vice President and SBA Business Development Officer. Annette, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks, Diane. I'm really honored to be here today.
So the first article we have is from this weekend's Intelligent Investor. And the title of the article is A Smart Twist on One of the Stock Market's Dumbest Ideas. And what he's talking about are stock splits. And, you know, the whole idea that if you split a stock in half, it's going to mean that the stock's going to go up is sort of silly in a way, because obviously if you split a stock in half, the stock is worth half as much. So nothing really changes. But what the article points out is there are some cases where it actually does help. And the example he uses is Chipotle's split recently. Chipotle had been selling at $2,800 per share. And by splitting the stock I guess it was like 5 times or 10 times, what it did, 50-to-1 split, it reduced
50.
So it basically reduced the per share price low enough so that they could give shareholder equity positions to their employees, whereas before, with a share price of $2,800, it would have been very difficult because someone getting $500 or $1,000 would have had to have a partial share. And the reason this is important is that after 2006 and pension reform, the act made it easier for employees to diversify out of their own company stock. In the year 2000, 19% of assets of 401k plans were invested in company stock. Today, it's 4%. And that is a problem because there is a view, and I think it's a good one, that employees are more loyal and maybe even work harder when they actually own a piece of the equity. And Chipotle believes that as well. So the advantage, long way of putting it, the advantage of this split is they were able to give equity positions to their employees, which they believe will result in better retention and more dedicated employees.
It's true. However, you definitely want your employees to own a piece of the company. However, you want to avoid what happened in 2008, where you had people having all of their 401k monies in company stock, and then you saw the Great Recession hit, and many people lose much of their 401k savings. So I think it is a delicate balance. You definitely want to own some of your company's stock, but you don't want all of your retirement savings to be invested in it.
Yeah, and you know the truth is that interest in your own stock is a good idea if you have a little bit of responsibility. And what happened in 2016 and 2017 is many high-paid corporate executives borrowed against their stock. So when their stock went down, they not only lost money in the stock market, but they had to put up margin or equity to make that make up the difference. So they got hit twice. They got hit by the stock market and they got hit by their own company being hit by a declining stock market. So putting all your eggs in one basket isn't good either. The next article is entitled, "What's Wrong with the Economy? It's You, Not the Data." And, you know, this is something that we've all been thinking about is if you ask people what they think we are, where we are in the economy, many, many people think we're doing not very well. But the fact of the matter is we are doing very well. And for the last 12 months through February, inflation, according to the century-old Consumer Price Index, was 3.2% compared with 6% the year earlier. And yet more than half people think inflation is getting worse. People think that inflation is going up, even though basically it's going down because they're looking at the absolute increase in prices versus the percentage increase versus, let's say, a year ago. But here's something even more disturbing. 47 compared to 41% in a Wall Street Journal poll think their retirement and savings went in the wrong direction last year, despite the fact that the stock market and home values have gone steadily up. The average customer retirement account at Vanguard grew 19% last year. And yet by a 2-to-1 margin, respondents said the economy had gotten worse and gotten better over the last 2 years. So interesting about the psychology of where we are.
Well, I think people also divorce themselves from what's happening in their account to kind of that misery index that we've spoken about in the past, where people are just fixated on the negative that has happened in the past, as opposed to looking forward and being optimistic about the outlook of the economy.
The next article is from the New York Times, and it's called "Japan Sees Success in Quote Womanomics." Now, what's womanomics? Womanomics is a term to, I guess, I haven't heard it before, define an economy that's benefiting from increased female employment. And one of the problems Japan has had over the last 30 years is a very, very slow birth rate. And what has happened over the last 10 years is that the number of working age Japanese women has risen to 83%, and that's higher than Americans, which is 77%. And the article says that the increase in the labor force among women is driving faster GDP growth in Japan. And, you know, with the American government, you know, focused on immigration as a bad thing, you know, we run the risk of ending up like Japan did without enough, because our birth rate is also not particularly robust. It may be, as the article says, that womanomics may in fact be something that we'll be looking for as a way of making up for the fact that immigration, particularly if there's another Trump administration, doesn't keep up with the need for new employees. The last article I have is the shift that explains lofty markets. The economy got more productive. And what this article is focused on is why has the stock market and the economy done so well, despite the fact that we've had inflation and increased bond yields, both because of the Fed's action and some concern still about inflation. And the answer, according to this article, is productivity. And that has resulted in this productivity increase has resulted in higher profits. So that while we've had concern about interest rates being too high, and we've had a concern about inflation being too high, profit margins have actually increased because of productivity gains. And that has driven the American economy. And so And by the way, one of the things the article talks about, which is really interesting, is that it's even helped the spread between lower quality bonds and high quality bonds, because as the productivity caused profit margins to increase, it's reduced the possibility of default among the less investment quality companies. So when you look at what's going on in the economy today, what's probably driving it, which, by the way, drove the economy 20 years ago, is increase in productivity. And then finally, there is obviously a aspirational hope that AI will also further increase productivity, which also could be good for the economy. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 and KZSB, and we'll be right back.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
Today, my new dad threw a barbecue.
Today, my new son and I threw a barbecue.
There were burgers and chicken.
I burnt everything. The burgers, the chicken, the salad.
Ah, they were delicious.
They were awful.
And then we had watermelon.
I'm allergic to watermelon.
And then we played catch.
I broke Mr. Lewis's window. Mrs. Wakeham's window. Mrs. Wakeham's windshield. And then... somehow my hand!
And then my dad even let me drive his car.
The hospital's on the right! It was a rough day.
It was a great day.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And we can be reached at 805-692-5102, or you could email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. If you're just joining us, we have the Vice President of American Riviera Bank and SBA Business Development Officer of American Riviera Bank, Annette Jorgensen, with us. Thanks so much, Annette, again, for being with us. So let's talk a little bit about your background and how you got involved in banking and how you've managed to be at American Riviera Bank for pretty close to the last decade. So let's talk through your background and how you got into banking.
So I was actually raised in Thousand Oaks, but came up to Santa Barbara in 1980 to go to City College and UCSB. And I actually sold a phone system to the then president of Goleta National Bank, Lou Stone, in 1989. Goleta is now Community West Bank. And I got into SBA in 1990. So 34 years of being doing SBA loans, small business administration loans, and I love it. I love that I'm helping people. I'm helping people buy businesses, start businesses, and it's just a really neat way of working with the community.
So over the course of your 34 years, that's crazy, of doing, you know, small business administration loans, what have you seen change? What has been kind of have they stayed pretty consistent in their lending to these small businesses? Or has it changed dramatically over the course of time?
It's been pretty consistent, but actually the SBA, the actual agency, is trying to lighten up a little bit and making it easier for business owners to get SBA loans. So over all of those years, I've seen, you know, many different types of SBA loans, commercial real estate, you know, borrowers buying businesses. I mean, you know, there's always cycles. Like right before COVID, there was a lot of talk about baby boomers wanting to sell their businesses, and then COVID hit. And so now I'm actually seeing those baby boomers saying, you know what, it's time to retire. And they're giving an opportunity to their employees to buy their business or do a stock buyout. So I actually think it's a it's an exciting time actually right now to do an SBA loan. So I guess I'm a little jaded because I always think it's a great program. It's a little more paperwork, but it's been pretty consistent. And I believe it's been around for a long time.
How does an SBA loan help do a insider sale to employees?
Well, when you do a business acquisition or a stock buyout, the advantage on doing an SBA loan is the term, because we can actually go out 10 years. So do a 10-year term loan. And so a lot of times that makes a transaction actually work. Versus trying to do it conventionally. Most conventional loans are 5 years. The term is 5 years. And so if you go over 10 years, it really helps to have the business be able to carry the load of the actual loan. And then also, you know, you've got experience. You've got, you know, an employee who wants to buy the business or someone who's experienced. And so it's a great opportunity. Also probably less down cash injection than if you would go conventional. So it's a good program for that.
So you mean you can use the funds to buy out the old owners?
Correct. So you could either do a stock buyout where you're actually buying the stock of the corporation, or you can do a traditional asset sale where you're actually buying the business, all the assets, and then you will operate it as a separate entity.
And so for our listeners, what are the distinctions? You mentioned a couple between an SBA loan and a typical or conventional business loan. You mentioned the term is one of those things, whereas a conventional is typically 5 years, and the SBA, is it typically 10, but does it go, could it span longer?
It's 10 years for business purpose. Real estate can go longer. But I think the main difference is that when you go with a conventional loan, the bank is looking for the business to be around, profitable, quite often, you know, 3 to 5 years. So with an SBA loan, you know, we can look at transactions where even a startup, where we're basing it on projections, we can look at, you know, just different projects that might be considered a little bit riskier. A bank could conventionally think that a change of ownership is risky. So the whole idea behind an SBA loan is that there's a guarantee. The government actually guarantees the loan 75 to 85%. So it does allow a lender to do a project that might be a little riskier, more fun in my mind, or do a longer term loan. And so that's where the government comes into place. And so it allows us to do projects that, you know, a regular bank might not be as happy to do.
So now with the underwriting, so it sounds like the underwriting is actually a little bit more lenient with the SBA loans, because the risk the bank's taking on is only, you know, let's say 20%-ish of whatever that loan amount is.
Correct. So I often think of an SBA loan as a stepping stone to getting traditional financing. So how does a business owner start a business? How does the business owner, you know, get to the point where they've had a track record for 3 to 5 years? So the SBA can be pretty much a stepping stone to getting more traditional financing.
And what's the interest rate differential between the two?
The SBA 7A loan, which is the loan for the business, you know, business stock buyout or acquisition or, you know, startup, the business loans for 10 years, the interest rate is based on prime, and prime currently is 8.5. And so I would say it's anywhere from 2 to 2.75 over. So variable at 10.5 to 11.25%. It's fixed, but it's fixed only for the calendar quarter. So if prime changes, it will reamortize. So another way of looking at it is a conventional loan might be a fixed rate, where an SBA loan is a variable rate. So there's a difference also between conventional and the SBA. And then the SBA does have the other program, which is the SBA 504 loan program. and that's for purchasing owner-occupied commercial real estate with only 10% down. And that's quite different than a conventional loan where the bank's going to require you to put anywhere from 25 to 35% down on a commercial building.
So bottom line, these SBA loans are really put into place to enable the owners of these small businesses to have access to money when they may or may not be bankable on their own.
Correct. Correct.
And so what would be the interest rate for a conventional loan at this point in time? Is it usually lower? Is it usually higher than the SBA?
It's lower. It is lower. And I would say probably fixed or in the nines right now. So rates have gone up because of a prime and this rate's going up. But the way to kind of think of it is that if you can get a bank loan, you should get a bank loan. So the SBA is for those that can't get the terms and conditions that they need, because if you can get a bank loan, you should do that first. So SBA is just another option, and I'm a firm believer in options on how to finance something.
So I definitely see why you love the SBA work, because you're basically like a dream creator for these small businesses that are trying to either grow or startups. You know, you help fulfill their dreams by providing them access to capital. So I do see how that must be really rewarding for you.
It's very rewarding because you're helping someone. And like you said, a lot of times it's their dream to start a business, or you know, it's an employee who, you know, the succession plan has always been that the current owner wanted the employee to take over the business. And so it's giving people opportunity to grow and to do really well financially for themselves also. And it's very rewarding.
So I take it the flow of business comes from the conventional lending part of your bank. That is, someone will look at it at your bank alone and recommend to the potential borrower, maybe they should take a look at an SBA loan because they're not really right for them. Is that how the flow works?
That is one way for a referral, is working with our amazing commercial lenders when they have a project that doesn't quite fit for conventional. But also after 34 years being in town and well-known, I do get a lot of referrals from CPAs, business attorneys, and just sometimes the general public. I hear, you know, hey, call Annette, she'll talk to you and she'll figure it out. So the referrals are across the board, but I do get referrals from the actual bank employees and also the commercial lenders for sure.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 and FM 96.9, and we'll be right back.
Our family has been here over 30 years. We've always been in the hospitality business. So when we're looking for a bank to finance our deal, American Riviera actually stepped up for us. They know Santa Barbara well. Right now, we don't have any plan to open another hotel. But if we do in the future, we'll be talking to American Riviera Bank for sure.
You can bank on American Riviera.
We do.
American Riviera Bank. Bank on better.
The Santa Barbara Maritime Museum has a new photographic exhibit you might want to check out. It's called Ice Bear Photographs by Ralph Clevenger. With more information, here's Greg Gorga.
Ice Bear is our third exhibit with Ralph Clevenger, an amazing photographer who used to teach photography and underwater photography at the Brooks Institute. He went up to Churchill, which is the southernmost part of Canada where the polar bears show up. The exhibit will be up through the end of May. Just come visit the museum and enjoy the great Ice Bear exhibit and all the other wonderful exhibits that we have, the Honda Disaster, the Point Conception Lighthouse Lens, Whales Are Superheroes, surfing, all sorts of fun exhibit. You can support the museum, become a member of the museum. You can volunteer at the museum, sbmm.org.
To learn more about the exhibits, lectures, and events happening at the Santa Barbara Maritime Museum, go to sbmm.org. That's sbmm.org.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. Can't drive high.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by American Riviera Bank, making your life easier with cutting-edge technology. Mobile deposits, free use of every ATM machine in the country, and a level of service other banks can only dream about. And I will say, it's not only every ATM machine in the country. I was in France last week, and they reimbursed me for cash withdrawals out of an ATM in Paris.
Look at that, American Riviera Bank. And we also, our guest is the Vice President and Small Business Administration Business Development Officer. So we have with us Annette Jorgensen. And so Annette, let's talk, before the break, we were talking about loans, commercial versus SBA loans. And, you know, let's talk a minute about the PPP loans that we heard so much about during the pandemic. What are you seeing as a result of those at the bank? Are they primarily being forgiven? How has that worked so far?
American Riviera Bank was able to assist many of their clients with the PPP loans. It was a little bit of the Wild West because the PPP loan program came out and the instructions on how to handle it kept changing with the government. So it was an interesting time. Our bank did really, really good. We vetted the requests from the beginning. We got the paperwork, the backup. We did a really good job. So we were completely done with forgiveness in 2022. So, wow. You know, the loans were in 20 and 21, and then we were completely done in 2022. And there may be other, you know, lenders out there that were not as successful because we did such a good job on the front end. But it was amazing what that was able to do for the community, and especially during, you know, such difficult times when nobody really knew what was going to happen. I mean, this was unheard of. And so the bank did a really good job, and we finished all the forgiveness in 2022. And it was a good program. I'm hoping that we don't do it again.
You and me both.
It was a really good program.
What was the, did you see any of the loans not be forgiven for one reason or another? Or did you hear stories from other banks that weren't able to get the loans forgiven? Because I haven't heard any.
I would say not our bank. There was very few that were not forgiven. And then what happens is then they would have to make loan payments and pay off the loan. But I think most of the forgiveness would be, or not being forgiven, would be if the loan was too large to start with and they couldn't back it up, why they received such a large loan. So I think if a lender didn't do a good job on the front end to really make sure that they were qualified and that they should be getting the amounts that they applied for, then they would have the possibility of loans not being forgiven. Also, unfortunately, there was a lot of fraud in the PPP loan program and also the economic disaster loan program through the SBA during that time. And that fraud is coming out. And you know, you hear about people that they're actually going to jail because they abused the program. So I can't speak for ARB because we did such a good job and our loans were forgiven. But I do think that there are other lenders out there. And then basically the loan has to be paid back over a certain amount of time if it wasn't forgiven. And even though the interest rate is low, it is still a liability to the borrower and to the lender.
And so are there any other residual pandemic type relief programs that business owners can still apply for?
There's nothing that you know through, of? Yes, there's nothing through the SBA. The economic disaster loan is pretty much done. I did see a couple of grants coming through actually locally, like in Lompoc and some other areas for very small amounts to try to still help anyone that needed it. But of large programs for COVID-related pandemic, no, I haven't seen anything new.
And so for small business owners at this point that perhaps are a bit riskier than a conventional, SBA loans are still the primary source of gathering you're putting together some money for the business.
Correct. And there is a lovely SBA microloan program. It's $50,000 and under, and it's a super good program for those that need, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000. And it's handled through nonprofit agencies. And locally, that would be California Coastal RDC. And I really like this program because it's intended for someone who needs $50,000 or under. And it is a six-year program, loan program. And the interest rate is like 9% fixed. So if someone does, if they call me and say, hey, now I only need $20,000, I do refer them to that program. Most of our 7A loans are $50,000 to $5 million.
Wow, $5 million, that's a large sum. But I guess that is what you'd need in today's day and age to do a buyout of a baby boomer business owners. You know, that's not an unreasonable sum.
Correct. And then the 504 loan program, the loan program for the commercial real estate, you know, that can go much higher. That's the program with 10% down. It's a 50% first bank loan and then a 40% SBA loan. And that easily can go to a purchase price or a project of $12 million or greater. So that's a whole nother loan program that's for real estate. You have to occupy the building at least 51% with your business, but that's also available.
With that loan type, how are the rates? Are they comparable to conventional, or is it? So I guess my real question is it for people who are having a hard time qualifying, or are they paying a lower interest rate?
No, it's actually, you have to qualify based on your financials and your tax return. So you have to show that you can make the payment. So it's not a projection-based loan product. The interest rates are very good. So that's 10% down, which is, of course, less than a bank loan, which would be 25 to 35. The 50% first is in the sevens right now, fixed for 5 years. And then the SBA funds a debenture, which is like bonds, to take out the 40%. And right now, as of March, that rate was 6.28% fixed for 25 years. So I would say it's competitive, but you have to occupy the building. And so this is not for investors. You know, this is really for the business owner who's done well and says, hey, I want to buy a building and I'm going to have my business occupy the building 51% to 100%. And it's a good program.
And oftentimes as a financial planner, that's what I advise my clients to do. You know, you have a business, you're paying rent, you might as well have a revenue source where then your business is occupying the building and your business is paying rent. Usually your business is the best tenant, right? And then it also helps them into retirement as they do sell their businesses to then be able to collect a rent payment over the course of time before they then sell the business to the current occupant. It, you know, it does work out quite well for financial planning. So that's a great program. And that is called, again, the SBA 504 loan.
SBA 504. They like to number everything.
Just like the IRS tax codes, right? So now let's talk a minute about, you know, over the course of the last year, we saw a few of the banks, both locally as well as, you know, regionally and nationally, go out of business. And how did American Riviera handle that? It was a very tumultuous, you know, I would say second quarter in the banking industry. How did you weather that storm?
We made sure that everyone knew that we were strong and that we were not having any issues. And we welcomed those that either felt like they needed to leave their bank, and we opened a lot of accounts. So it was actually a benefit to American Riviera Bank. It is a little sad because I've only worked for community banks my whole life. It is, you know, a little sad to see that there's less and less community banks, but I also think it's an advantage because the business owner, the customer, the client, they have someone to talk to. So when you work with a community bank, you're basically banking with the individuals and the people that are at the bank, and they're available to you. There's someone you can call. There's someone that's going to be responsible to take care of you. You're not just calling an 800 number and hoping for the best. So I think that it was a benefit to our bank. And we just kept very positive and told everyone, you know, that we're doing good and come on over.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 and FM 96.9, and we'll be right back.
fact, successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
The Storyteller Children's Center provides early childhood education in Santa Barbara County. Here's Dr. Gabriela Garcia.
Storyteller is an early childhood education center focused on the social and emotional development of children, as well as comprehensive family services to help break the cycles of trauma and poverty. Education, a safe place, and care 8 hours a day with two meals and a snack daily, as well as restorative sleep, dental and health screenings, and of course, that mental wellness component that is so important. People can get a hold of us by going on our website, storytellercenter.org. It is a beautiful thing to get to see what we can do when the community comes together to truly make an impact.
To learn more about the Storyteller Children's Center, go to storytellercenter.org or call 805-682-9585.
Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And we can be reached at 805-692-5102, or you could email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. So, Annette, let's talk a little bit about American Riviera Bank's footprint within our community and what positive effects do you think the bank is having in our local community? You mentioned before you've always worked for community banks, and so I'm sure that that's probably one of the reasons why you do work for community banks as opposed to the big boys out there.
Yes, American Riviera Bank is very involved in the community. We do a lot of volunteer work, and we have a whole department that does all of the donations to all the different organizations in Santa Barbara and Goleta. Our footprint basically is Montecito to Paso Robles. We can go, Ventura also. And so we do a lot in those areas for the community. And, I'm very involved with like the Alzheimer's Association walking every year. And so I think all of the employees have their favorite organizations that they want to either donate to or be involved in. But there's a lot of volunteer opportunities also at the bank for, to be involved in the community. So we do a lot. And I think we're a positive influence because we are, a local community bank, and we always give back to the community. And our loans are in the community. We don't do loans in different states. We don't do loans, out of our area or most of our footprint. And so it all comes back to our community.
And so with your 34 years in SBA lending, do you think now is a good time for businesses to either start up or expand with their program?
That's a really good question, because I have kind of a motto that, SBA does well in good times and SBA does well in not so good times. When everything is really positive and everyone is feeling really good about the economy and their future, we do a lot of startup loans. And then when things are not as good, an SBA loan may be the only opportunity for someone to get the finance they need. And so it's both. It's good times and bad times. SBA does really well. I think it depends on the borrower and how organized they are, and if they're ready to make a change and really have thought about it and have saved money, and you know, and they're prepared. I think that's the key, is that they need to be prepared and be able to weather if there is going to be a little bit of a downturn, or it's going to take time for people to actually walk through their front door of their business. And so I think if they are prepared and they really have thought about what they're going to do, it is a good time. It is a good time. You know, they would have to do a business plan, and they'd have to really think about, you know, why their project's going to work. And if it's a business acquisition or a stock buyout, you know, we look at the trends of that business. And if the business is already weathered through COVID and everything else, it probably will be fine for the next, you know, 10 years. So a lot of it is just looking at trends and, you know, the feasibility of what they want to do.
And so as we've seen interest rates, you know, climb fairly rapidly over the last year, what has that done to the SBA market? Has it lessened the amount of applicants? Has it increased the amount of applicants? What is that rapid rise? Because I'm not sure we've seen a rise that quickly in our history before.
No, everybody remembers prime at 3.25, you know, so I think last year was an adjustment period for people to realize that, yes, rates have gone up, residential rates have gone up, and it seems to have softened their attitude, like, okay, I'm just going to do it. I remember when I got in this industry, prime was 10, you know, so we were above 12%, and everybody just still borrowed money. So I think it took last year to really have the interest rates sink in that they're okay. And I'm extremely busy right now with business acquisition, stock buyouts. I've got a couple of expansions where they're going to their second or third location. And I think the interest rate shock is softening, and people are realizing I'm just still going to do it. It's not, rates can come down. I mean, they're talking about the prime coming down, whether it's going to come down this year or next year. I think the rate shock has softened, and people are saying, you know what, I'm going to do this because I'm ready to take that next step to either starting a business, buying a business, or expanding their business.
So let's talk a little bit about the mechanics of how getting the money actually works. So you at American Riviera Bank sit down with the actual customer and do the due diligence with the business and how they're planning on using the funds and what's it's for and that trend of those businesses. How much oversight does SBA have on your individual loan underwriting?
American Riviera Bank is a preferred lender. So basically the decision is ours. So they're counting on us doing our due diligence and doing good loans, and they give us an SBA loan number. So the SBA is not very involved in the actual decision. It's the bank. And we are a preferred lender, which basically the SBA is reliant on us that we do good loans, and then they accept the application, or they accept, you know, our decision. So basically we're looking at, you know, the borrower's credit. We're looking at if they have cash to put in, what their experience is, you know, is this their only source of income? Do they have outside income? Do they have assets to secure the loan? You know, what is what they're doing feasible? You know, I've been around for so long. I mean, there at one time there was typewriter repair. Well, there's no more typewriter repair. So we looked at company and what they want to do is actually going to be feasible for the next 10 years. And, you know, some people say to me, oh, Annette, it's so hard to get an SBA loan. I go, no, it's not. If you have a little bit of everything, what we're looking for, you know, the financing is available. And so we're not the lender of last resort, but we're also working on projects that the way I like to describe it is that it's not perfect. There's a little something that needs the guarantee to make it so that we can say yes. But our success ratio on, you know, getting an application and actually approving is very high. And I do a lot of consulting and talking to the individuals in the community, just letting them know what these loans are like and how to make it successful. You know, if you know going in what you need to do, then the chances of getting approved are quite great.
And I think that's your reputation in town, is really helping people understand what's required of them so that they do have an easier time of approval. You know, I think what I was talking about you to somebody, and they said, she's the best because she'll hold your hand through the whole process. So, you know, I just want to let you know that that's your reputation out there in the community. And many small business owners thank you for that.
Now, thank you. That's great.
In the overall SBA program, what's the default rate? I would imagine that American Riviera is much smaller because you do have that, you know, community philosophy where you are holding people's hands. But sometimes businesses don't work out. And overall, what happens in an SBA situation where a borrower does default?
Well, in the case of a default, that is why the SBA wants to be as secured as possible. So they do look at the assets that are available. And in the case of a default, it's liquidation. And do you liquidate the business assets or do you liquidate the, you know, the residents that's securing the loan? They have to look at what's available. And then what happens is whatever the loss is, the SBA will step up and take, in the case of a 75% guarantee, they will take 75% of the loss. So the bank only has 25% of the loss. But I will say that it is a government loan. So if there is a loss, they will look to you to continue to pay it. So, there is an issue when a loan defaults that they do actually look at the assets that are securing the loan and also the liability with the borrower. Our rate is very low and my rate is extremely low on defaults, but it can happen. And if it doesn't happen, then maybe, you know, maybe the lender's being too conservative because things happen. People pass away. People get divorced. Businesses don't make it. Something happens. So our ratio is very low, but it does happen. And the SBA wants to be paid back.
So these loans are, there's a personal guarantee implicit with all of these loans.
There's always a personal guarantee. Anyone that owns 20% or more of the company has to personally guarantee it. So there's always a personal guarantee. And they do take it one step further. And if there are personal assets, they will use those for the personal guarantee. They will actually tie them to the personal guarantee. So in the case of personal assets like residence or rental properties, they will look to secure the loan with that.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 and FM 96.9, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
American Riviera Bank is actually really good offering the loan to small businesses. The customer service that Renee gave, it was amazing. She actually gave us step by step. She helped me with every single step on the paperwork. She was great. We found a great bank, and now we have a great coffee shop.
You can bank on American Riviera. We do.
American Riviera Bank. Bank on better.
Hello. It's me, the designer jeans in your closet. The back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So what happened to us?
I mean, have you seen my label?
I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right, and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it. But it's all about the look, and I look good. I need to get back out on the scene so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
April is Community College Month, celebrating an American invention that put publicly funded higher education close to home. The first such institution was Joliet Junior College, opening in Illinois in 1901. Today, there are nearly 1,200 public and independent community colleges. Some 19 million students are enrolled in America's colleges and universities. Nearly 4.3 million attend community colleges. Profile America is a public service of the U.S. Census Bureau.
You Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by American Riviera Bank, making your life easier with cutting-edge technology, mobile deposits, and free use of every ATM machine in the country, and a level of service other banks can only dream about.
And we can be reached at 805-692-5102, or you could email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. So Annette, let's talk a moment and let's go back and speak about the SBA 504 loans. If I have a client that's looking to purchase their building, how would they start this process? So I know you had mentioned that it's a 10% down, but what level of underwriting is there, and what steps should they take to start exploring whether or not the 504 loan is a good one for them?
I think the main factor is the down payment, because usually the borrower doesn't have 25 to 35% to put down. But it's also really important to know what you qualify for. I had a gentleman that kept putting offers on property, and I kept saying, you know what, you really need to get pre-qualified. And he was not qualified for the price range that he was looking at. So I think it's important, just like you get pre-qualified to buy a home, you can get pre-qualified to buy a building and get a range, so that if you're looking at, you know, at a $3 million property and you should be looking at a $1 million property, you would know, you know, what you can qualify for. So it's not only the down payment, but it's also the business being able to support the debt, because the SBA looks at the business and that the business can support the loan payments. And so it's very easy to get pre-qualified. I also do that even with the 7(a) loan program, when, you know, I've even had sellers come to me and say, hey, what can my business support? What kind of a loan can my business support? Or a buyer coming to me and saying, hey, Annette, this is what I have. What kind of business should I be looking for? What's the price range? So I would say that it would be a good idea to get somewhat pre-qualified to know that you're in the right price range. And I know that the commercial brokers appreciate that. And quite often I'll do like a pre-qual letter, so that they know that they've been vetted and that the borrower can actually support the loan that they're trying to get.
Now, with these 504 loans, can a business purchase the property and then move into it? So can it be intent to move in, as opposed to not an existing building where you already are at?
Right. I would say probably 50% of the loans that I do are the business is already in there. They're buying it from the landlord. But the other 50%, they're going to move in. And there's only one requirement, that you must move in within a year. So if someone has, you know, if there's a 2-year lease and they can't get in for 2 years, I can't do that. But let's say that there's an existing lease and it's for 6 months and then they're going to move in. That is acceptable to the SBA. But it really has to be owner occupied. So it's not an investment loan product. The business has to occupy the building at least 51%. It doesn't have to be 100, but it has to be at least 51%. And they have to move in within, they'd say, a year or less. So I would say less than a year.
And so when we look at
Thank you, Annette Jorgensen. Sorry, Diane, we're out of time, but thank you so much, Annette, for being here. And thank American Riviera Bank for sponsoring us. And thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Money Talk, and we'll see you next week.